Blog Talk Radio.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check.
Positivity is all we need. Together we will succeed.
Shows, a lot of radio shows, a lot of news shows are focusing on this particular topic. And this is the real reason why we're talking about this, because of the protest that is going on. Right now in Ferguson, Missouri, there are people that are still out in the streets. There's a curfew that is imposed that is trying to keep people off of the streets and trying to keep people from doing the protests that are going on. But you know what? They're still out there. They're still out there. They're combating the police department. They're combating the all the information that is going on that is trying to assassinate the character of Mike Brown. And this is what we're talking about here. They're trying to make sure that all the information is wiped away. They're trying to make sure all the information is not being put out there for the public. And right now, the people of Ferguson, Missouri, are really fighting that, and they're really trying to go after the character assassination of what was really going on in Ferguson, Missouri. So I really applaud what's going on, and that's what this is about, the power of protest. This is not a hashtag protest that's going on right now. This is a real protest. The other day, for people who follow me on Facebook, I put how this is like Shades of Birmingham. And this is going from the peaceful protest to shades of what was going on in 1965, 50 years ago. This is not old history right now that I'm talking about. This is about Watts. This is about Newark. This is about Detroit. This is about the protests that were going on back in that time, fighting the same injustices that we are seeing now in the present day. So we have Dr. Walter McWilliams that's going to join us in a few minutes on this topic. But also, once again, everybody can chime in on this. Let me know what you think about this, 347-850-1228. We want to hear what you think on this particular topic here, the power of the protest. Is this going to be a start of a revolution? Is this going to go beyond this hashtag protest that's been going on? And, you know, it hurts me when you hear about what we went through a couple of years ago with Trayvon Martin. Now it was just a hashtag protest, and it wasn't really a strong enough protest to really create positive results. You know, you look at what happened in, you know, going on with the women, the girls in Nigeria, how it was a hashtag protest. It wasn't really strong enough to make results. But this right here, this is becoming a stronger protest because of the fact that we are out there each and every night. We see what's going on each and every night. I was looking at the Washington Post the other day, on Thursday, Washington Post. And for those who can pull it up online, it's a really powerful picture. It was called Ferguson Unfiltered. And the front page, when I first opened up the paper, you know, it's early in the morning, I'm sitting back, I'm opening up the paper every morning. And I look at this particular picture, and at first I thought that it was Palestine. I thought this was Israel, you know, having the same attacks they've been doing on the Gaza Strip for the past. And then I look at the caption. It says Ferguson Unfiltered. And I'm like, wow, this here is going on in America. This is going on right in the heartland, quote unquote, of our country. This is Ferguson, Missouri. This is not the Gaza Strip. This is not Iraq that's going on. This is not the type of war zone that we are typically used to seeing as Americans. This is happening in our backyards. And this is something that talks about the power of what we can do as a people when we come together and say we're going to protest. And this also talks about the disparity and the injustices that are still going on. Would we still talk about this if the media wasn't being hindered from reporting this? Would we be talking about this if the gentleman from the Washington Post and the gentleman from the Huffington Post was not able to post what was happening to them? So this is what's going on right now. So there's still power in the protest, and there's still power in what we can do as a people, as a community, to make sure that we are trying to do exactly what we have to do to make sure results are done. So that's what I want to talk about now. So once again, 340-850-1228. Let us know what you think. And of course, we are sponsored by Tranquil Mind by Rob Massage and Wellness, and this is something that is near and dear to this particular, near and dear to my heart, because I want to make sure that we are trying to make sure that we are doing the right things for our community and trying to empower each other. And this was about the protest, about empowerment. So without further ado, I have Dr. Weldon McWilliams. He's on the air right now, and activist, minister, been on my show several times, and every time I enjoy his insight and his take on what's going on. So, Dr. McWilliams, can you hear me right now?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Brother Rodney?
Hey, doing pretty good, man. So what do you think about the power of the protest? I know you've been very active in trying to get a lot of things done in New York and beyond. And when you see what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri right now, how do you feel that this protest is impacting not only the city of Ferguson but the country as a whole?
Well, I think as you can see, the protests have gained national attention. They're the first story on the news cycle. I believe that historically there's always been power in the protests. But I am a little concerned at how the media is framing the protests, and how I believe the media has helped shift the argument and shift the focus of how these protests came to be and why these protests came to be. I still don't think that the media has done a great job of articulating why these protests have come into existence and why they come to be. It's because a community has finally said, now when we look at the Mike Brown incident, and again, condolences to his family, and must always remember that Mike Brown, was someone's son, someone's brother, someone's cousin. This was indeed a human being, but this incident was really the tipping point for a community. It was a community who finally said, this incident, this enough is enough, and they were going to stand up to the systematic abuses or the systematic racism that they felt perpetuated themselves within law enforcement. So I don't think that narrative has been spoken of enough. I think that the media has conveniently left out a lot of the underlying factors here and just tried to make this about a singular incident and, it's still not addressing some of the systematic problems in the way that I feel they should.
And that's a very strong point. For those who do not know the history of Ferguson, Missouri, you're looking at 100 years of history. Back around this time, 100 years ago, in East St. Louis, there were riots that were going on in East St. Louis because of poor housing, because of inadequate housing for the African Americans that were migrating up from the South going to St. Louis. So what happened was a lot of the men, women, and children were being killed in East St. Louis just because they were fighting and protesting the establishment and the system for public housing. So Ferguson, Missouri was a city that was founded off of racial and civil injustice back in the early 1900s, 1914, 1915. So when you look at that particular aspect, and there's only 3 African-American police officers in the entire city of Ferguson, Missouri, which is almost 80% African-American, that shows there's a broader problem that was going on in that particular system, and then, like I said, enough is enough. So Dr. McGuinn, I want to ask you about this, you know, this protest that's going on right now versus the hashtag protest, as I like to call it, that we have seen over the past couple of years about, like, the incident in New York with the gentleman that was choked and murdered on the street in Staten Island about, you know, Trayvon Martin, which we've talked about numerous times on this particular show. These hashtag protests versus the protest that we see now, which is more of a physical, hands-on, we're out there every night type of protest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that social media has helped in such a way to bring certain things to light that maybe even the mainstream media wouldn't bring to light. So I think some of the, what we have called the hashtag protests and some of these things, I believe social media has helped bring some issues to light that I believe mainstream media wouldn't bring to light. Is there really a difference in this one? I think that's still yet to be seen. I know that, you know, we've had this particular protest in Ferguson, Missouri has highlighted some real issues. Even though they haven't addressed them as I feel as they should, they still have highlighted the fact that we have, you know, you can see the systematic abuse, the systematic racism that exists within the police department. You can see the militarization of police departments that exist not just in Ferguson, Missouri, but in many small town cities. You have these militarized police departments, and I think that this is stating a type of mindset that many police departments, that I think America as a nation, as a whole, is leaning towards. You know, everything is about defense, and everything is leaning towards defense and power and domination and things of that sort. But I think I guess what you can say is the conclusion of this, you know, will this be something more than just a hashtag movement, or is it more than just a hashtag movement? I think that's still yet to be remained seen. It depends on how the community in Ferguson responds. It depends on how the power structure in Ferguson responds to this. It really depends on what we are taking from the murder or the killing of Michael Brown and what we will learn from the killing of Michael Brown. So I think that's probably a question that will be answered maybe in some years down the road. You'll get a true answer.
I definitely understand that. And that's the thing that gets me hopeful that we are moving in the right direction towards a revolution and towards a means of combating this issue that's been going on for decades. This is not new. Police brutality, police violence, civil injustice on the ends of the militarization of the police department is not new. We've seen this go in waves and cycles over the past couple hundred years. So this is why it gives me hope that we are trying to fight and we're trying to, and our generation is trying to move in the right direction to try to combat this. But also, it makes me think of we've gone down this road a couple times in the past couple of years with Sean Bell, with Trayvon, et cetera. There have been several different incidences that we have started, but it has not continued. Do you feel that you talk about how the media has not really fully discussed and fully really gone to the depth of why these protests are occurring? Do you feel that because of the fact that the media has also been attacked, in essence, by trying to shut down their communication, by trying to remove them from Ferguson, Missouri altogether, do you feel that that may have a stronger impact in this particular form of revolution that we're trying to do here in Missouri?
Well, I think that the members of the media, the journalists and the reporters who have been in Missouri and who have tried to get the story out there, I know that many journalists have been arrested and even some politicians have been arrested, local politicians have been arrested, and I'm not sure how that affects the story that's being told by mainstream media at this point. I'm not sure how much that affects it, but again, I still think that we have enough historical evidence and enough information, even in this case, to talk about some underlying factors. We have to talk about the devaluing of black life. We have to talk about why are black men automatically seen as suspect? Why are they automatically suspect? How is it a situation where a black man is unarmed? Is, you know, we frequently hear this narrative that an unarmed black man is murdered by a law enforcement. How often do we hear that about other groups of people? About even if, do we hear that about white men? I mean, we need to really, we still have enough information to have a serious dialogue about what's happening. Even in this particular case with Mike Brown, what does it say when his body is laying on the street for 4 hours? What does that say about the value we place on his life, that the value we place on black bodies? I think that speaks a lot to our society's devaluing of black bodies. So, I mean, we still have enough historical information to have a serious dialogue, but, you know, I'm a firm believer that if you have a serious dialogue about racism and the legacy of racism in this country, you have to be prepared to deal with the repercussions of what that dialogue can bring forth. And I still don't think that the power structure of America, and more specifically white America, and even more specifically white supremacy, I do not think that it's ready to deal with the repercussions of a real, genuine conversation about racism, the functions of racism, and the legacy of racism.
That is a very powerful point. And once again, listen to the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. We have Dr. Law McWilliams on the line right now. And if you have any questions for myself or Dr. McWilliams, you can also call in 347-850-1228. And you bringing up the devaluation of African-American men, and that's something that hit me this morning. For those who live in the D.C. metro area, those who look at the newspaper and the Washington Post this morning, the first thing you see when you open up the front page of the Washington Post, you see a picture of Mike Brown laying in the middle of the street. That's a very powerful picture right there, because that shows how there is just a lack of respect. There's a lack of caring, you know, in regards to the concept that this was an 18-year-old male that was about to go to college starting this week, that was about to try to do something building on his life. And, you know, and they're just trying to make it seem like this is just an invalid, a justifiable homicide. This is something that we can just push aside, brush off, wipe away. And the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department, and also I think the state of Missouri in itself, is trying to hope that everything blows over and this is going to go away soon. So Dr. McWilliams, this is where I know I want to use your expertise and insight in this. What is the next step that we can take for those of us who don't live in Ferguson, Missouri? What are the steps that we can take in our communities at this particular point to make sure that something like this does not continue, something like this can be, that, you know, that we can really fight this particular situation that's going on?
Well, if it's a situation where we can learn specifically from what has happened in Ferguson, I think that for those who are not in Ferguson, for those who can't make it down, you know, we definitely have to ensure that we have to take a proactive approach into making sure it doesn't happen in our own communities. And, you know, we could start by establishing better relations. You know, let's reevaluate or let's evaluate our relationship with the law enforcement in our own communities. How is the relationship between people of color and the law enforcement in those communities? Or, you know, what is the makeup of the police department in your community? There's some things that we could do proactive to ensure that a situation like Michael Brown in Ferguson doesn't happen in our own community. Maybe I know that one thing I would like to work on, and I know my brother-in-law, in fact, is working on, is trying to establish a series of communication and dialogue between police departments and the community. I think those are things that need to be regular happenings. If if the police department is seriously concerned about serving and protecting the community, I believe it, you know, the police departments have to take it upon themselves to establish a better relationship with the community. I also believe that the community owes it to itself to ensure that their relationship with the police department is a functional and at the very least a workable relationship. So we could be very proactive. We could take lessons from Ferguson, Missouri, and we could say, look, we want to ensure that this never happens in our community. So one thing that we could do is measure our relationship with our local law enforcement, with our local police departments. But maybe we can establish some type of relationship. So that's the first thing we can do. Another thing we could do is, you know, we have to figure out a way to we got to figure out a way that we can show our black boys and black girls that they are, and just people of color, but all people, but that they are valuable. We have to instill certain things in our community to let our black boys and our black girls know that they are valuable. But they, you know, even beyond that, there's just, I was watching a conversation on CNN. You know, it was talking about how black parents just have to have this conversation with their black sons, that they have to have that conversation that, you know, there is a good chance that somebody is going to judge you based on the color of your skin and not on the content of your character. And that speaks directly to the legacy of racism and white supremacy that still functions in the United States. So we just have to figure out more creative ways to combat that systematic racism that exists. We can get better relationships with our police departments, but we just have to be committed to fighting racism on all fronts and all forms.
That's very, very potent, powerful information right there. Just the other day, a friend that I talked to frequently, she was concerned about her son being out late at night in the Baltimore area because of the fact that he is a teenage black male. And this is something that is still a major issue in all the major cities in this area. There was a study that was just posted a couple days ago talking about in the major cities in America. We're talking about Dallas, we're talking about New York, we're talking about Detroit, Cleveland, Charlotte, Memphis, Tennessee, that the percentage of Caucasian cops in those particular major cities are disproportionate in the compared to the percentage of African Americans in those particular cities. So once again, I feel like I stress this a lot on this show. It comes down to voting for the sheriff in your particular town, particular community. That plays a very big factor in sometimes the direction and the path that the police force is going to take. If we're not being active in trying to make sure that we have proper establishment in the police force and within our communities and our cities, then it's going to be a recurring thing that's going on. So definitely big points in regards to trying to establish relationships with the law enforcement in our communities and just the government status in our particular communities as well. This is something that we have to keep going and keep striving to improve in the area. And once again, it's the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. I'm on the phone with Dr. McWilliams. And Dr. McWilliams, I want to get an idea of what you have been up to in the past couple months. I know you've been still been trying to fight a lot of the things that are going on in Rockland County and the areas surrounding the New York City area. So just give us an idea of what we can expect from Dr. McWilliams in the near future when it comes down to some of the different aspects that you're trying to do in New York.
Oh, thank you for that. Well, as you said, I'm in Rockland County, New York, which is about 40 miles north of New York City. And we still, you know, Rockland County is a county right now that is very much divided. So I'm working in whatever avenue I can with the community to ensure that our community stays vibrant, to stay ensure that our community remains united. We have political corruption. We have issues with a particular school board, East Ramapo Central School District. We have issues that deal with housing and gentrification, public assistance. We got so many things happening here. and I'm just trying to help out wherever I can. I like to be a part of the community. I am part of the community, and I work where the people tell me that I need to or I should work. And those are the areas that, you know, we got a lot going on here. And I wish I could tell you what to expect next, but I, the truth is there's so much going on here that I just don't know. Wherever I am needed is where I plan to be. But like I said before, we have issues as far as political corruption. We have, the East Ramapo Central School District where the budget cuts have affected those public school students at such a dramatic and drastic rate that, you know, it's almost as if it would take 5 years to get a high school degree. And this is something that's, you know, the community is saying that it's just unacceptable. So we have a lot going on, and I just plan on being wherever I recognize injustice and wherever I feel that I could be a help in restoring justice. That's usually how I'm led to participate and get active in that a particular fight.
Well, as always, thank you very much. I'm talking to Dr. Walter McWilliams, minister, activist, just a good friend of the Vibes TV show and a good friend of mine. I always appreciate every time you come on this show for your insight and for your information, and I definitely applaud what you're doing each and every day to try to make sure we open up our minds, open up our hearts, and just try to make sure that we make our community better, because that's what it's all about. Sometimes it takes us all collectively to make sure that we are doing the things that help build our community. So as always, I thank you for being a part of this show, and anytime you want to chime in and give some information on any of the topics that we have, you're always more than welcome guest on the Rise TV show. So I definitely appreciate it. Once again, thank you for being a part of this show today.
Thank you for having me. And just if I could say to your listeners, man, let's love on our black children. Let's show them love and let's show them support and let's let them know that their lives are also valuable.
Thanks a lot. That's big information right there. So once again, Dr. Williams, thank you for your time on this show and look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Yes, sir. God bless you, Brother Ronnie.
Thanks, sir. So once again, this is the Rise TV show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. We have a couple minutes left, so I just want to thank each and every one of you once again for listening to the show. And you got to take this as a means of action. Don't look at this as just a one-time thing. Don't look at this as a topic that's hot right now. You know, these trending topics that we do, these ways that we trend and move forward and try to make it seem like this is something that's going to be popular in the social networking right now. We got to take this and move to the next level. You know, just looking at this and say, oh wow, I'm glad they're doing this, and taking it at face value is not going to help the situation. We have to be proactive. We have to move forward. We have to build off of this and see what we can do in our own communities in order to make them better. And when we do that, that's when these incidences of police brutality or civil injustice or racial injustice or educational disparity will go away. We have to make sure that we are on the path of trying to make sure that we are doing things that are bettering our communities. And once we do that, then we'll be on that path to the equality that we're looking for. So we only have a few seconds left. I want to thank you once again for listening to the Rise TV Show, Blog Talk Radio, Toyland Productions, Toyland Entertainment. Love Talk returns. Deciding that Love Talk returns tomorrow, we are talking about talking that talk, basically having the conversation about relationships, about intimacy. And all this comes, you know, full circle. If we don't have these conversations, then we are destroying our community. So we're going to talk about how to have that talk with your children, how to have that talk with your spouse, how to have that talk with with yourself, and trying to make sure we're bettering ourselves in that instance. So please tune in tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern Time. That way we can really try to open up the dialogue in that aspect as well. And next week on the Rise TV Show, we're going to talk about something that's very important to me. We're going to talk about mental illness and the effects of mental illness in our communities. So I look forward to each and every one of you that are listening today to come back next week and help out to talk about that dialogue about mental illness in our community. It's something that we really need to talk about. So, once again, TV show, Twilight Productions, Twilight Entertainment, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, this is the Rise TV Show. We'll talk next week.
Self-respect, intellect, increasing our knowledge to keep ourselves in check. Positivity.